Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, 1 Samuel chapter 15. 1 Samuel chapter 15. I'm going to read some verses, and then I'll make a couple comments, and then I'll tell you the title of my Bible study tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 15, and go down to verse 16. And we're going to read verses 16 through 23 to start us off tonight. Here's what the Bible said. Then Samuel said unto Saul, "Stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night." And he said unto him, "Say on." And Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord?' And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, 'Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king.'" So, God sent Saul on a mission. His mission was to go and destroy the Amalekites. If you go back and you read the history, the Amalekites were a thorn in the flesh of Israel. For most of the time, they existed as a nation. And it was actually an Amalekite that ended up bringing the news to King David that Saul and Jonathan were killed in that battle with the Philistines. So if Saul had done his job, somebody else would have had to tell King David, because this guy wouldn't have been around. And so God told Saul, I want you to go kill all the Amalekites. I want you to kill all their animals. I want you to utterly consume them. I don't want you to leave anything. So Saul went, and according to his definition, he obeyed God. And I guess we would say that he obeyed God, sort of. It looks like he killed all the people except the king. And it looked like he killed all the animals except those that were the best, the chief of the animals. And you might say he killed all the animals that were not fit for sacrifice, but the animals that were fit for sacrifice, he saved. Now, in this passage, we read that he blamed the people for it. He said they wanted to bring them all back, and I agreed with them. "I know you sent me to kill everybody and everything, and I did, sort of. I killed everybody but the king, and I killed all the animals except these ones that we brought back." We're going to look at this story tonight, and I'm going to, if I was going to put a title on my Bible lesson tonight, it would be this: it's never right to do wrong to do right. It's never right to do wrong to do right. Sacrificing to God is right. I mean, back in Saul's day, and back in the time that we're reading about here, that was the way you approached God. That was the way you worshiped God. You brought an animal sacrifice to the priest, and the priest offered it on the altar. And again, that was the way the people worshiped God. So it was very right to sacrifice. God told them, he told them what to sacrifice. He told them how to sacrifice it. He even gave them times to sacrifice. And so it was very right to offer sacrifices to God. And in one way, you could look at what Saul did and say, well, what he did was good. What he did was right. Because he brought all these animals back to sacrifice to God, which is a good thing. But it wasn't a good thing, because in order to do that good thing, Saul had to do something that was wrong. He had to disobey God. And the truth that I just want to get in your minds tonight is that it is never right to do wrong to do right. I'm going to give you seven statements. I'm going to point out to you how they happen in this story. And then I'm going to give you some examples today where people are still doing what Saul said. They think they're doing right, but in order to do right, they got to do wrong, and it's never right to do wrong to do right. And I'll get confused before the end of the night trying to say that over and over. All right, so seven statements. Here we go. Number one, go with specific commands versus general principles. You see, Saul went with the general principle. He says, it's right to sacrifice. He ignored the specific command from God that said, I want you to go and I want you to kill everybody and kill everything. He had to choose between those two things. He knew what God told him to do, very specifically. And yet he also knew over here that it was right to sacrifice. He had to make a choice between those two. Was he going to bring animals back which were fit for sacrifice, or was he going to obey the direct command of God? He chose the general principle. He chose bringing the animals back. Saul made a bad choice. And even Samuel, as he rebuked him on God's behalf, said, Saul, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. So let me give you some examples today. People want to give more money to the church. They want God's work to prosper. That's a good thing. That should be our desire. We should want God's work to prosper. So somebody says, I'm going to go out and rob a bank so that I can give more money to the church. Now, that's sort of a cornball example, but I'm trying to get you to where I'm going. It is, none of us would think it's okay to rob a bank in order to give more money to the church. It's never right to do wrong to do right. All right, so let me give you another example. I want to give more money to the church. So I'm going to go out and buy a lotto ticket. Oh, and I know some of you, I'm stepping on a little few toes, but you know, you got to wear it if it fits. So anyhow, just never mind. I'm going to go out and buy a lotto ticket. Now, the Bible says that you know, it talks about eating by the sweat of our brow. It talks about eating by working. It talks about not taking unnecessary chances. Is it a good thing to give money to the church? Sure, it's a good thing. That's how God works prosper. But if it's wrong to gamble, and I believe it is, I believe the Bible teaches that, then even though you might have a good purpose in what you're going to do if you win, and by the way, nobody's won yet, but it's never right to do wrong to do right. What about a business person that says, well, you know, if I just cheat my customers a little bit, I'd have more money to give to the church. They won't know about it anyway. You know, I'll just raise my price a little bit and I'll just have more money to give to the church. And so let me just ask you, and again, another example of somebody that's trying to do right, but in order to do right, they got to do wrong, and it's never right to do wrong to do right. So let me ask you. Don't raise your hand, don't say anything out loud, but just think about this. Was Robin Hood a good guy or a bad guy? I mean, he's portrayed as a good guy. Rob from the rich and give to the poor. Good thing to help the poor, right? They need to eat, they need clothes, they need a place to live. But he robbed from the rich. You might say, well, they didn't need it. They were all evil and crooked in the stories that we, you know, the fictional stories that we hear about Robin Hood. I would submit to you tonight, this truth would tell you, Robin Hood was a bad guy. He was doing right, but he did wrong to do right, and it's never right to do wrong to do right. So, you with me, Lois? Okay, good. So, If you got to choose between a specific command and a general principle, always go with the specific command. Number two, go with obedience today versus obedience tomorrow. Saul had a choice. I can obey God today and kill everybody and everything, Or I can bring these animals back that we could sacrifice sometime in the future. And he made a choice. He chose to be sort of obedient tomorrow and be disobedient today. He made a bad choice. God wants obedience today. I read a little story. I think I've told it to you before. A pastor was talking to one of his members in the church who happened to be a farmer. And he visited the farmer, and he said, Brother Jones, if somebody left you an inheritance of $1 million, would you tithe $100,000 to the church? And Brother Jones says, Brother Pastor, you know I believe in tithing. If I inherited $1 million, you can be sure that I would give $100,000 to the church. And the pastor says, I'm so happy to hear that. He said, Brother Jones, let me ask you another question. Let's say you put in your crops this year, and God just blessed you, and you had a bumper crop, and you went out and sold your corn and your wheat, and you made a profit of $200,000. Would you tithe on that and give $20,000 to the church? And Brother Jones says, oh, Brother Pastor, you know I believe in tithing. If I made a profit of $200,000, you would know that I would give $20,000 to the church. And then the pastor said, okay, Brother Jones, let me ask you one more question. If you had 10 hogs, would you give one to the church? And Brother Jones says, Brother Pastor, you know I have 10 hogs. What kind of question is that? See, what the pastor was trying to get him to see was, yeah, you can be obedient tomorrow if you inherit $1 million. You'll be obedient tomorrow if your crops make a profit of $200,000. How about being obedient today? You got 10 hogs. Have you tithed off those hogs? It's always easier to be obedient in the future than it is right now. But God wants us to be obedient today. It's never right to do wrong to do right. Yeah, it's good to be obedient in the future, but it's wrong to not be obedient today. So again, it's never right to do wrong to do right. Number three, go with what you're supposed to do versus what somebody else is supposed to do. Saul's job was to kill everybody and everything. It wasn't his job to get the animals for the sacrifice. I mean, they had people that were assigned that responsibility. God set it up that way. And so Saul had a choice. Am I going to do what I'm supposed to do, or am I going to do what somebody else is supposed to do? He made a bad choice. He chose to do what somebody else was supposed to do. Gather up the animals. A lot of people today are more worried and spend more time thinking and doing what is somebody else's job than they do theirs. A lot of people disobey God because they think the pastor needs help being the pastor. And I'm not mad at anybody. I'm just teaching you tonight, okay? A lot of people get in trouble when they disobey God because they think the pastor needs help doing what the pastor's supposed to do. A lot of people disobey God because they think the Sunday school teacher or the school teacher need help, and they're more willing to help them than they are to do what God told them to do. Well, here's a good example. I'm sort of getting everybody a little mad at me tonight, so I'll just throw this one in too. A lot of grandparents disobey God because they think their job is to parent the kids instead of being a grandparent. Grandparents have one purpose, to spoil the kids and send them home. I'm looking so forward to that. I'm kidding a little bit. I'm kidding a little bit, but listen, Grandpa and Grandma, I'll preach to myself a little bit. It's not my job to raise my grandkid. It's his job and Chantel's job. I should support them. I mean, I should, you know, when they say something, when they set a rule, I'm not going to let Junior come over and break the rule at my house. I'm going to support him. Honest, Adam, I swear. Believe me. I'm going to support them. And I have some things that from my life lessons that I'll share with them. But my primary responsibility is not to raise those children. My primary responsibility is not to do what Brother Leonard's supposed to do in the Sunday school class, or what Adam does as he leads the singing. That's not my job. And if I spend my energies doing those things, I'm probably not going to do something that God told me to do. And it's never. And you might say, well, I'm trying to do right. I'm trying to help Adam. I'm as a song leader and as a parent. As I help raise little Junior there, I'd be doing the right thing. But it's never right to do wrong to do right. And if I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do because I'm more concerned about helping him do what he's supposed to do, I'm doing wrong. And that's not right. All right, statement number 4. Go with the Word of God versus your impression. Or said another way, go with what God's definition of right is, not yours. There's a lot of pastors, a lot of religions, a lot of churches today that are churches of convenience. They're smorgasbord churches. They put it all out there and they say, take your pick. Pick what you want to do, pick what you think is right, and we'll just sort of forget about the rest of it. That's sort of what Saul did. This is right for me to obey God and kill everybody, all the animals. And this is sort of right, sacrificing. I'll pick this one. I won't worry about this one. And he made a bad choice. I'll speak to parents for a minute. I always enjoyed loving my kids more than I did discipline them. I'd rather give them a hug than spank them. I'd rather tell them I loved them as opposed to tell them they messed up and they had to have punishment. Just my nature. I always enjoyed loving them more than I did spanking. And so, between those two, if I was going to pick one, I'd pick the loving. I'd let somebody else do the spanking. I won't go any further than that. But anyhow, but it's not right because they need both. They need the loving, but they also need the spanking. Until they get to a certain age, then you got to use other reasons. But they need the loving. They need the spanking. You got to do both. You can't pick and choose. God's word is not a smorgasbord. You can't go through and say, well, I like this part and I like this part, but this other part over here, I don't like at all. So I'll pick out these two things. I'll live by these two things, but this one over here, I'm just going to pretend like it's not in the Bible. And I think we're going to see more and more of this as we approach the last days. I think this is what Paul talks about when he says, in the last days, people have itchy ears. They'll want somebody to come along and scratch them. They'll want somebody to tell them what they want to hear. They'll want somebody to let them define right and wrong as they want to define right and wrong. And if each one of us define right and wrong, there will be no right and wrong. Because we'll pick what we think is right, and we'll define our definition of wrong, and it will nowhere compare to how God defines right and wrong. So if you're going to choose, go with the Word of God versus what you think is right and wrong. I got to hurry. Number 5, go with pleasing God versus pleasing man. Saul came back, said, well, all these people. I mean, it's not my fault, Samuel. I wanted to do exactly what you told me to do. I wanted to kill everybody and kill all these animals. But all these people that went with me, the army, they said, let's take all the, we'll kill all the bad animals, but let's keep the good ones and take them back. And Saul said, do I obey God or do I please man? Do I please God or do I please man? I'm going to please man. You know, Saul was chosen by God to be the king, but he was chosen because the people wanted a king. They wanted to be like everybody else back then. And they would have been a whole lot better off if they would have just listen to God and let God lead them, as opposed to wanting a king. God said, you want a king? I'll give you a king. This is the kind of king you're going to have. You know, and God told Samuel to tell the people what kind of king they were going to have. He's going to take your sons, he's going to take your daughters, he's going to take your lands, you know. And they got Saul as a king. And Saul was sort of a king like a lot of politicians are. He sort of, you know, stuck his finger up in the air. Which way is the wind blowing? Oh, it's blowing this way. I think I'm going to go this way. He tried to please the crowd. Now, there are going to be times, and I think we're going to have more opportunities to do this, there are going to be times where we're going to have to choose, are we going to obey God or are we going to please man? Sometimes it'll happen in our own families. There's people sitting in this room tonight whose families think they belong to a cult because they come to church twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday night, and give money. They think they belong to a cult. There's going to be times where we're going to have to stand and say, no, this is what the Bible says. This is what God says. It doesn't matter what the world says. It doesn't matter what man says. I'm not trying to please man. I'm trying to please God. And so we got to make a choice. We got to make that choice. And we always need to make the choice to please God and not man. Bible says, let me give you an example. Bible says, as much as possible, live peaceably with all men. And some people take that verse and they forget about the first part and they just say, live peaceably with all men. That's why God put that first part on there, as much as possible. Because there are going to be times when it's not possible. Because we believe two things completely different. They do not go together in any way. And we are going to disagree and not be at peace with people that don't believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the only way to heaven. So, lived to please God versus pleasing man. Number six, go with private obedience versus public obedience. I think part of Saul's decision to go along with the people and to save all these animals was he thought something like this. Well, if I go back with nothing, nobody will know I won a great victory. I mean, if I do what God tells me to do, there'll be no prisoners, there'll be no spoil. Everything will be destroyed. But if I listen to what the people are saying and take these animals back that'll be fit for sacrifice, man, I'll be given a hero's welcome. Everybody will know what I've done. Everybody will be able to see I'm bringing all these animals back to sacrifice to God. And I want to remind you tonight that our obedience to God in here and in here is more important than what we do out here. What we think and the attitudes that we have and why we do stuff is more important to God than, and again, now don't take me wrong. I've preached sermons before and I've encouraged you. If you don't feel like doing right, do it right anyway. I preached a sermon one time, go ahead and be a hypocrite. Because if you don't feel it and it's right, you need to do it anyway. But what we need to do is get our thoughts and our actions in sync. We ought to do right, but we ought to think right as well. And God is more concerned about what goes on in here, in our heads and in our hearts, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. It's eventually going to come out. We may fool each other for a while, but we don't fool God at all. And God knows the more we think about it in here and the more we think about it in here, sooner or later it's going to show up out here. And Saul would have been a whole lot better off to be obedient to God, to have the attitude in his heart and the attitude in his head, I'm going to do what God told me to do. And I don't care if I get... And again, it gets back. Who do you get your validation from? Who are you trying to please? Are we trying to please God or are we trying to please man? We make that choice in our obedience to God. Number seven, the ultimate test. The ultimate test ought to be, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? If Jesus was in Saul's place, he would have done exactly what Samuel told him to do. He would have killed every Amalekite. He wouldn't have brought the king back. He would have killed every animal. He would have utterly consumed them, just like God told him to do. Jesus said, I did not come to do my own will. I came to do the will of my Father, which sent me. Most of us, and so what happened to Jesus? When he came to earth and took the form of a man, his will died. He submitted his will to God's will. Most of us as Christians get into trouble with obeying God is because we have a will. And we don't surrender it to God. We don't give it to God. It's what do I want? What do I want? It doesn't matter what we want. What does God want? That's the question. God said, I think three different occasions, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why? Because Jesus came not to do his will, but the will of the one that sent him. And that ought to be our desire. And the ultimate test is when we have to make a choice. Now, am I going to do wrong so I can do right later? Or am I just going to do right? It's never right to do wrong to do right. And sometimes we want to explain our doing wrong by saying we're actually doing right. It doesn't work that way. It's never right to do wrong to do right. Let's have a stand and have a word of prayer.